Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. Welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast, Small Church Edition. And my name is Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And I'm looking forward to discussing topics that relate to smaller church leaders. But again, if whether you're in a small church or not, all of these principles will be good for you. So don't tune us off. Don't tune us out. But stay tuned for a fantastic episode as we start talking about small churches and budgets. Now, for some small church leaders, they're going to go, "What's a budget? I don't get a budget." Or, "Ha, that's funny." A lot of smaller church leaders do struggle with that, or they struggle with the other thing of, "Wow, I wished I had a lot more." So we're going to be talking about budgeting 101 and how to do great ministry for less. And I'm so glad to have my good buddy and founder of Small Church Kidmin back with me, Bill, Commander Bill, Bill Gunter, all those names, but I call him my friend. Welcome back to the KMC and our Small Church Edition.
It's great to be back, and it's budget time in the old church. And so it should be a good discussion.
Yeah, we should have been playing that money, money song, you know, kind of thing. I may have to throw that in there. money and small churches can be a tough thing, can't it?
Because many small churches have no money.
And so creativity is a maximum. But what we want to talk about is really we are dedicating this program, this episode, to help any leader consider the cost of ministry and how you can maximize whatever you do have for maximum impact. Because we believe if we're faithful with even the little that we get, God can do amazing things through this. And so that's kind of where we want to go. And we don't want this to be a discouragement. We hope that you'll be encouraged by what we challenge you to think about. We hope it will challenge your thinking. Maybe you've had a negative attitude towards budget or lack of. And hopefully we can spin that around and flip the script for you today in this episode. So Bill, let's kick some stuff off and let's chat about this. We've had fun talking off air about some of this and figured we better start recording so we don't use up all our good lines. But what are some of the budgeting challenges that you faced serving in a smaller church over the years? I'm just real curious because I'm sure that we both have similar notes on this, but what are some of the challenges that you've faced over the years?
I guess the main thing is having a vision for something or something that you want to do, but realizing the funds aren't there and not quite knowing how to do it. And then being transparent right now, one of my biggest fears is getting something approved that's a big budget item and then having nobody or very few people show up. And then you look at the cost per child, which is a business model, but that's what people do.
Right.
They say we spent all this money and had no outcome because we only had 6 kids or 12 kids or just our regular church kids. And that's, to me, that's kind of the biggest budget challenge is how do you step out in faith with where you see God leading you,
right?
Not only for the monetary aspect, the budget aspect, but for the people coming. And I say that because, you know, when large churches have events, and they always say, if it reaches one child, it was worth it. And I believe that. But if you ask them, okay, so if you had this one event and only one child shows up, was it worth it? And they'll say no, because of the expense. It wasn't a good resource of funds. Mm-hmm. And so even in a small church, I want to have that be a good steward of those funds, but also know that reaching that one, if only one shows up, and they get reached, then no matter what the cost, it was worth it.
Right.
But then it's convincing the other members of the church and the board and the treasurer that that expense was worth it.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the things that we're guilty of in ministry world is we look at the cost per child and all those kind of things. And yeah, we do look at the business model kind of side of things. And we have to. I mean, I think that is one element of stewardship. But our attitude in the church needs to be different in a lot of ways, whether we're in a small church or whether we're in a big church. You can't put price on a price or value on a soul. And so no matter, you know, really we need to start with our attitude when it comes to thinking about money and budgets and finances and those kind of things. Our attitude needs to be in check, where we have to have the right biblical perspective on what we're doing with what, you know, if you know that you're being faithful with whatever you have, whether it's little or whether it's much, if your heart is in the right place, again, that's where your treasure is. And it's really, well, that's what God's looking at. I think there's a lot of, you know, principles about giving that apply to even budgeting that you want to be faithful. And if you've done it with the right heart attitude and you've done it with the right approach, it doesn't matter when it comes to looking at the events, how many show up, that, yeah, a bigger church should not be saying this was a failure because we didn't reach 1,000 kids. But again, looking at the spiritual and the eternal value is where we really have got to focus. If we know in our hearts we've been good stewards and we spent things frugally and we weren't wasteful with God's resources, then to me, it's not about the numbers so much. So, yeah, I like
it. Let me jump in. It's being a good steward with what's been there, along with the faith. If you really believe God's leading you in that direction and he provides the funds, then he's going to provide the people, and you have to realize that, even if that people is two.
Right.
And it's that mindset that we're reaching. Now, if you plan an event because you want to plan an event because that's the cool thing to do, and only two show up, then maybe it wasn't the right motivation.
Right.
And so we say it's the attitude and how you're going into it.
Yeah.
If you want to be good stewards, not just do something that costs a bunch of money because it'll be cool, it'll be fun, because then when nobody shows up, we will be depressed because it didn't meet the goal of bringing a lot of people in.
Yeah.
Yep. But if our goal is to reach people for Christ, and we believe truly believe he's leading us, then we have to truly believe that he's going to provide
who
needs to be there.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it is a challenge, you know, and I think for me, one of the challenges of being in a ministry with a small budget or a very limited budget was my attitude. It really was a challenge. My own attitude was a challenge because I constantly, and we'll talk about this later on, we play the comparison game and we start looking at other churches in the neighborhood that might be bigger than us. And we often go, wow, how can they afford to do that? How can they afford to do that? You know, and we really have to check that. That can be a stronghold for the enemy to limit what we are doing, and to get us into the wrong spirit. And we're going to say this multiple times during this episode, I'm sure, of don't focus on what you can't do, focus on what you can. And make what you can great. And we talked about this in other episodes where if only a few show, which is probably what it's going to be if you're in a smaller church, that few can be huge in God's hands. And so focus on that and focus on the eternal perspective. And I think that's going to help you as you're budgeting and as you start looking at how you're going to use your funds for the year. You need to start looking at what's going to have the greatest eternal impact, and how does my heart reflect that as you go in and prepare? And so I think my little piece of advice for leaders as you're preparing budgets, as you're looking at, you know, maybe for the next ministry year, if this is your time to prepare a budget, that you really do some soul searching about how you want to use God's funds. How do you want to be a good steward of it? And then go in with that attitude of I'm open. These are my open hands, God, and I want to be faithful with the little you give. And I want to make a big impact on that. So let me ask you, so what have you learned over the years about ministry on a small church budget? Because I think we both have learned a lot of different things about how to do ministry on a small budget. But what's one of the things that you've been picking up over the years as you've been serving in small churches?
Well, again, small church or any size church, don't go into the budget process thinking that your ministry is the most important ministry in the church and that your budget needs to be bigger than everybody else's. because, again, for me, that becomes a pride issue. Mm. There are other ministries in the church doing things effectively. Yes, children's ministry is important. We can list all the reasons. People make decisions for Christ, and it's important. So I'm not belittling that. But women's ministry and men's ministries and marriage ministries are just as important, because they're the ones that are developing their child at home.
Right.
And so we want to invest in those also, because that, by default to a certain degree, is children's ministry, which we see as children's ministries kind of transforms to family ministry. So the one thing I've learned is, and again, it comes down to heart attitude.
Right.
We always want more. We always wish we had more. But you go in to the budget process, not playing games, and say, hey, this is what I prayed about. This is where God, I see God leading us. They, you know, the treasurer and others may need to know, may want more information or something, or may need to see that vision. But it's just understanding where you are and then being thankful for whatever budget you may have. And I realize in some churches it's zero, but be thankful for whatever budget you have. And then trust God to fulfill his vision that he's given to you. Because so many times what we see is we focus on programs we have in place and maybe not where God wants us to be 12 months from now.
Right.
I mean, we have to look at, we'll get into this in a minute, but we have to look at different business criteria, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But, and one other thing I want to throw out there, what I've learned about ministry, you know, small church budget or any budget, is get to know your treasurer. Find out what kind of pie he likes and buy him an apple pie or whatever. No, I don't say that to get on his good side, but if the person who watches the budget sees the impact that children's ministry is having, they're going to be an advocate for you also. If you have a children's ministry, or if you have a treasurer that's focused on numbers, he's more of a business guy, then walk in with numbers that's going to impress them. Don't make them up. Don't fudge them. But walk in with numbers and information. I walked into a budget meeting one time. After I was told my budget was approved, they said, hey, we want to meet with you. I said, okay. So I walked in with my submitted budget from the year before, knowing they were a numbers guy. And so they asked me and said, okay, with your budget, you said this would be a positive number, but we're showing a negative number. And I looked at what he had, and I said, I don't know where you got those figures from, because this is what I submitted last year. And so I gave him the proof, hard proof and numbers he was looking for that refuted what he was showing me. So I'm saying that I walked in prepared.
Yes.
So I wasn't blindsided. And that's where I say, get to know your treasurer and what they're looking for. If they're looking for numbers, don't set your budget, submit your budget, and throw that away and forget about it. Keep those numbers, because they may be valuable in how you determine that budget for next year, next year's budget, when they're looking at numbers, if they're a numbers guy.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. It's important that we do get to know our teammates, and that we remember we are all on the same team. We are all pulling together, and we all want to maximize the dollars that God provides to be the best stewards of it, so that we're not throwing it away. And that, so yeah, you have to understand. And I think our attitude sometimes gets so snarky and so cynical when we're in leadership, and we feel like you said, we get defensive over the children's ministry. And sure, that's, you know, we're to be champions for it, but that doesn't mean we're to be guardians of it. And I hope people understand what I mean by that. We're to champion children's ministry and family ministry, but it's not ours to guard, because it's not our ministry. So I like how you really are hitting to the heart of humility. That as a leader, when you're starting to look at a budget, or if you haven't had a budget but you want one, the best way to approach senior leaders I've found over the years is to come at it humbly. And we're going to talk about the next point here is we'll start talking about how do you build a budget when either you don't have one, or you want a bigger one, or you want at least to keep what you have. There's some important things I think you and I are going to discuss in a minute. About that. But I think you nailed a really important thing that all of us as leaders have to do heart checks when it comes to this area, because again, God sees what our hearts are and he sees our intention. And if we're not having the right attitude or the right heart, why would he bless us with more? If we're not prepared for it, if we're not ready for growth, why should God bless us with more funds to do things, you know? I mean, that's one of the things that I offer in my coaching, is to look at those kind of things. And one of the hard questions I ask coaching students is, are you ready? Is your heart ready for growth? You know, God's not going to give you that if you're not ready for it, if you're not prepared for it, if you don't know how to steward it. Why should he bless you with that thing? So I think sometimes we as leaders need to do a gut check of, am I prideful in this area that I need to submit my heart? And I need to show that I'm a team player too. I need to show that treasurer, I'm willing, you know, get your receipts in on time, get your, you know, man, I had a treasurer tell me one time, you know, if you and the youth pastor would get your receipts in on time, I'd be a lot happier. And I realized, wow, you know, I was often waiting until the last minute. I wasn't usually late. Now the youth guy, yeah, he probably would. No, just kidding. I'm not. Throw the youth guys under the bus. But I was not early either. And he was always waiting on me. And so I finally started, and like you, and then I found out that he liked these certain kind of latte things. And so I knew he would come in on Saturday mornings to do the budget and the checks and all that. So I purposely would start coming in a little earlier to pick up my check. And I would bring him a latte or some donuts. And I would always ask, you know, did I get everything turned in right? You know, everything looked good. You have any questions for me? You know, hey, just wanted to say thank you for all you do. I know this is painstaking work. If you can bless your team and show, hey, I'm going to work hard at making sure I do everything in order. In fact, I even asked him, how would you like me to turn these in? Mm-hmm. What's the format? How would you like me to set this up? And when do you really want them? Well, then I found out, yeah, he always had this deadline, but he wanted them like a week before that deadline so he could get it organized so that he could come in on the end of the month and boom, nail stuff out. And I was like, wow. You know, he worked that budget stuff. And then I found out, you know, when it came to church budget time, that if I got my request in early, that helped my children's ministry. Because I was on his good side, not his bad side, by waiting to the last minute to submit my budget. And I hate numbers. I hate spreadsheets. I don't know about you, but I'm not like Mr. Wayne Stocks that absolutely loves spreadsheets. You know, he just... that's his happy place, is in the middle of a spreadsheet. His mansion.
I don't love spreadsheets as much as Wayne Stocks does, but I do utilize them quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I keep track of my budget and my expenses where I've spent money. So I don't have to go back and say, hey, where am I at in my budget?
Mm.
I know where I'm at line item by line item.
Okay.
It may be off a little bit, but the general items are there. So I don't have to bother him. I know where I'm at in my budget. I'm not going to go over my budget, hopefully. and those kind of things. So again, if you're working with them, if you're working with them and not against them, it's a huge asset, because you're a team working together instead of fighting for what you need to do your ministry effectively.
Yes. Good stuff. All right. So we've teased it a little bit. What are some things leaders can do if they have the ability to build a budget or start requesting a budget, or, you know, they could be anywhere in the spectrum, but what are some key things that you think leaders need to have ready and to understand when it comes to building a budget, putting together a budget?
You need to know your church's philosophy when it comes to the funds and how they're utilized. I'm big in the Awana world. And monies for Awana can be handled one of several ways. Some churches provide everything, so the families aren't charged anything. Other expect families to contribute for the handbooks or uniforms or different aspects of it.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to look at kind of what the expectation is. Will the ministry that we're doing self-fund itself?
Mm-hmm.
like with Awana or other ministries where the families participating are purchasing materials to be a part of it, or all of your ministries more like a Sunday school or children's church, where the church provides all the resources and funds it all 100% from the church budget.
Right.
And so, like I said, if a ministry gets some funds from some place, you need to account for that and say, if this ministry is going to cost us $500 to do for the year, but we're going to charge a modest fee, then we only need $200 from the budget to accommodate that. Any kind of factor all that kind of stuff in. And you look at what you spent for the previous year or for the current year, which gives you an idea. Hey, what do I need? In my case, I came in where the previous person ordered all the children's church stuff for this year. So I didn't have to buy anything this year for children's church. Now, I kept that money in the budget, even though I may not use it, which some people would say is a good thing or a bad thing, because I want to make sure it's there for this year when I have to spend it.
Right.
And I would be spending some of it. I will be using some of it for this year. But it's looking at what resources you'll need and what those costs will be and how much you'll need to spend throughout the year to get that budget, to get that number. So you have to look at the business side, looking at numbers, looking at actual costs, and making sure that things are covered in the budget, or if there's a cost involved, that those costs will cover the expense of that ministry or that event.
Gotcha. Right.
Those kind of things. And so you know your line items in the budget and lay it out accordingly. And don't put all the detail why you want things for certain things, but be ready to share why you want that extra $200 for an event during the summer.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
That you haven't done before.
Yeah. So do your homework ahead of time is what you're saying, and know what your numbers are from last year, know your attendance numbers. You're needing to think about, what are you wanting to accomplish? It's good to even, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've often, when I budgeted, I had my calendar out and I was looking at my calendar for the next year and what I'm doing, what events was I going to do? Where do my curriculum cycles go? If I'm going to be using free curriculum or if I'm using paid curriculum, all those kind of things, any volunteer appreciation things that I want to do, training.
That was my thing. Training. Are you able to go to a conference or not?
Right.
Will the church help subsidize, cover those costs or some of them?
Yeah.
Or even just training your volunteers.
Right. What resources?
If you have to order pizza to get them there, that's an expense you have.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I mean, you really want to get your calendar out. And like you said, you want to start asking some key questions that you just mentioned, and looking at your calendar and answering those questions, even with your calendar, so that they see that you've planned out and you kind of understand. Some leaders just want a bottom line number and then they just want to break it up during the year and use it for however they see fit, but that's really not good stewardship. And so I like how you're saying it is, hey, you're trying to analyze, where were you last year? Where do you want to go this year? Are you going to have any growth? And breaking that down so that you're budgeting appropriate. And like you said, are there events that you're going to charge for, or resources that you're going to charge for? Like, yeah, if you have an Awana program or some other kids club type program where there's uniforms and books and things, those things cost. Are you going to pass on some of that cost? Are you going to have people underwrite it, with parents underwriting it or church people underwriting it? Those are some really, really good questions to be asking alongside your calendar. And knowing where you're going, and what events you have coming and what's your cycles, your VBS plans and summer outreaches or camps. There's a lot of things that go into it.
And a huge budget buster that people don't think about is if you offer incentives, points, Bible bucks, or whatever you want to call it, where you have a store or something where they can get things
right
for participating in doing certain things, that can bust your budget easily, because you have to look at how easily they can earn these points or these Bible bucks or these shares or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
And how does that translate to items that they can purchase? If you give them that really, really easily, then you need a Chuck E. Cheese economy where a pencil cost is like 10,000 points right. or 10,000 Bible bucks or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're not so stringent in giving them out and it's harder to get, then that pencil is going to be 10 or 50 or something.
Right.
So you have to make sure that's something people don't think about. But if you do those kind of things, you can get donations
right.
for things in the shop. But then you're getting, you know, dollar store items, like really cheapy things. It's really a Chuck E. Cheese environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Not downplaying Chuck E. Cheese, but, you know, in any place like that where you have to get a whole bunch of points or tickets or, you know, bucks or whatever to get something really small. And then is that really an incentive?
Yeah. You know, speaking of budget busters, I think one of the mistakes that a lot of leaders make, and I think churches make this too, is that we plan for things that we always do. You know, yeah. we've always done it this way, so this is what we budget for. What we don't budget for is God's dream and God's creativity. And so sometimes I challenge leaders and I challenge budget people to leave an open category. Leave a little bit of money somewhere on a budget line that's used for events that all of a sudden you go, we've got to go do this. Well, this is an opportune time. Because sometimes, you know, you get into the year and you have an opportunity that arises that you can take advantage of and jump into and do. But if you didn't budget for it, it can kill your budget. And you're going to have to rob from some other places to make something happen. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, I've had this happen where I had budgeted my year. I'd planned for my calendar. So I budgeted with my calendar. I knew exactly what I needed to spend. And then our senior pastor came back from a conference and he had this whole new initiative he wanted to play into. And he wanted it to be a whole church thing. And it was like, oh, okay, where are the funds going to come from that to do this? You know, he wanted a whole stage design set up for the, you know, he wanted every environment to have decorations and themes. And I'm going, I didn't budget for any of that. And now I've got to create something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And so from then on, I started leaving a line item and I talked to my treasurer and said, you know, I'm going to leave, you know, $300 here. And it's just going to sit here and it's not the miscellaneous category. And I said, I don't know what title I think we came up with a what if or a no, that wasn't it. Anyway,
vision.
Yeah, it was almost like an unspoken prayer request. You know, it's an unspoken spending thing.
But you don't call it a slush fund, right?
Yes, definitely not. But yeah, I mean, so when you're building a budget, start looking at where you want to go, look at your calendar, look at those kind of things and build for that. All right, we need to keep moving here. And one of the things that I know I wanted to really get to is this idea of how can a leader maximize, what can they do to maximize budgets, or resources that they have? If you don't have a lot, but you have a little, we're going to talk about what can you do when you have zero budget. But let's talk about you get a little bit of budget every year. How can a leader maximize the little budgets, that they get?
Key things are networking and seeing what resources are available. And the area I'm in, there's a network of children's pastors that meet once a month. Now, I'm not directly connected to that because when they meet, I'm working my full-time job in a different state. But I know many of the people that participate, and I've had several of them let me know, hey, we have this in our ministry, and so if you ever want to borrow it, let me know.
Yeah.
And so it's building those networks, because while you may not have something that would be awesome and you may only need it once, you know, there may be other, there may be other people close by that have it that will let you borrow it. I have things in my small church setting that I've let a larger church borrow,
right,
for their use for a night, for an event, for one night, and things of that nature. So there are resources out there. And again, we talk about budget busters. I personally have made the mistake, I will use the word mistake. At the time I knew it was a mistake, but I still did it because I wanted to. But I have been known to spend a fair amount of money for something for a skit or for a bit that would last all of maybe, I would need it for like maybe 10 seconds or maybe a half hour. And so I would get this to complement, to help make this point.
Yeah.
And sometimes that comes out of my own personal funds.
Yeah.
And while it was great, did I really have to buy that? Or could I have said, hey, Tom, do you have a rubber chicken I can borrow? You know, do you have a chicken suit I can use? And if you're listening and you need a chicken suit, I have a chicken suit now.
Yes. Yeah, you knew. That's great. I do remember you getting that.
Yeah. I've used that a couple of times now, so it's worthwhile. Mm. But you need to be careful being good stewards and not just kind of getting things impulse buys because this would be awesome now.
Right.
Facebook is a great tool. Yeah. Even among your own church, say, hey, I did it one time. I said, hey, I'm looking for a chainsaw for Sunday morning. Does anybody have a chainsaw? I'm looking for a chainsaw and 100 AA batteries.
Okay.
Which was my teaser also.
That's a great recruiting technique, because I guarantee you're gonna get some guys going, what's he doing with, oh yeah, I gotta know what he's doing with this.
So people are questioning, but instead of me having to buy a chainsaw,
yeah,
we were able to get a chainsaw that somebody had as a prop.
Yeah.
And so you utilize resources that are out there, people that are out there, put the word out, hey, I need this for this Sunday.
Right.
Does anybody have anything I can borrow?
That's good.
And you utilize a network. If you don't have a network, that's going to stifle your son, because then you become reliant on just what you have,
yep,
which can minimize it. When you network and see what resources are out there, it expands your potential.
Yes.
With what you can do.
That's good. Yeah. I would encourage leaders to always be on the lookout for how you can partner together with other local churches. You know, when I was in a small church, we brought in an outside ministry to do this big thing, and it wasn't cheap to bring them in, but the way I did it was I talked to a couple of their children's ministry leaders and said, hey, if I bring this person in, I'll take a big chunk of this financial part of it, but if you guys want to be a part of it and join forces together, and you take a share and you take a share, the three of us can do more together than I could do alone anyway. And it was cool because we were able to do stuff like that. And so I think, you know, you can maximize a little bit of your budget by saying, hey, I want to bring this person in, anybody else interested. And it's a great reason to get other churches to network with you, to say, hey, I want to share resources with each other. I want to help each other out. And you see this on Facebook a lot now, more than ever, of people that do the same Bible schools, and they'll say, hey, we've prepared all these props. Now we want to give them to somebody else. All you got to do is come pick them up. I literally did that one summer with a good friend of mine. You know him, where his church did the same Bible school theme I did. Our church was doing, but he was a week and a half, 2 weeks before us. So we helped build props together. Our church did some, he did some, we brought him over, helped build his stage, put it all together. When he was done with it, we picked it all up, took it to our church and put it to use. And then we gave it away to a third church that was able to use it.
It sounds bad, but you talk budget busters. VBS can be a huge budget buster because of props and sets.
Yes.
Same kind of thing. One year, I intentionally picked a vacation Bible school. The theme was good. The message was good, but I intentionally picked it because I knew that I could utilize those props in my themed children's ministry area.
Yes.
And again, another church is doing the same thing. And so when we were done, we packed it all up, shipped it to them. And I said, hey, I'd just like to have these back. The rest you can do what you want with it, but I want these kind of pieces back. Yep. And so when they were done, we got them back and were able to use them in our themed area. So it wasn't a 1 week deal. Yeah. It was something that could be utilized for a longer period of time.
Okay. So when a leader has zero budget, they don't get to make a budget. They just, you know, the church may give them a little bit of money to do things with, or they have to go to the pastor for every event and activity to get funds. What can a leader do with that? How do they not let that stop them?
You know, that comes up a lot in different Facebook groups. And on my Smart Church Kidman Facebook website, I've got a page devoted just for free resources, because there are many larger churches that have developed different curriculum or materials or videos, or even just other ministries and all that have done it, and they offer them for free. No membership charge, no free. Like, you know, Crossroads Kids has some awesome videos that I've used to complement lessons, and they offer them free. I met Kim Botto at CPC 1 year. She's great. She loves the fact that people can use their resources. Yeah. But you just go to their Vimeo channel, and I've got a link to that on Small Church Kidman, and they have different things that relate to different Bible stories, different things about the Bible, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of resources you can use that you can download for free. Good friend of ours, Ken Baker, started working in a small church, no budget. He's downloading Life Church material, which is free, and his people love it. So that's the curriculums out there, material out there that you can download for free and utilize, and it's just as effective and sound as things you would purchase from a major publisher.
Excellent.
So just because it's free doesn't mean it's cheap or chintzy, although some free resources you can get are kind of cheap and chintzy. So,
sure.
But look at what you can use in your ministry, and that's going to be effective. But again, Smart Church Kidman, free resources site. I'm trying to set something up where we can share resources. That's a work in progress. Uh-huh. But at a minimum, I'm linking to other places to say, hey, you can go here and get free resources that way, which is great.
And don't you think every leader, even if you don't have a budget, you should plan for and prepare a budget. You should know what, even especially if you're paying for stuff out of your own pocket and stuff. I still advise small church leaders, you need to plan your calendar, plan out your events, plan out your lesson series, plan out what you know where you're going, how you're going to get there, and what's it going to cost. You got to count the cost, because again, I think this is part of stewardship, that if the church doesn't give you anything, you still need to know where funds are going, and how you're using.
And the other thing is, many times in small churches, and I'm not advocating or saying it's wrong, I'm just stating a fact here. Many times in small churches, the person leading children's ministry may not give to the general fund and just self-fund their ministry. But what happens when you do that, and I'm just talking budget aspect here, is when it comes budget time, your treasurer, the church leaders are looking at, well, you had no budget last year and you did fine. Why do you need a budget? Right. And that's why you need to keep, like you were saying, you keep track of your expenses, saying this is what it costs to do the ministry where I see God that's leading. Exactly. It's just not coming from the church. It's coming from my own funds.
Right.
And in a small church, you will self-fund various aspects of it.
Right.
Many times. But you need to keep track and say, hey, this is the actual cost of ministry here.
Yeah. It's a good way to show them the need for them designating funds for children's ministry and showing it. But it also shows them a lot if you've thought about your plan of why you need that fund. Here's what you're going to do with it. You've planned your calendar. You've planned out your events. You know what it's going to cost per child. You know what this is going to be done. You know where you're going to, you know, borrow and resource things and how you're going to stretch, you know, and you may have to talk to your leaders about donations and encouraging families that, like at the beginning of the school year, when all the school supplies are on sale, every family goes out. I mean, they do this for the public schools. Why not help the church out too and go buy some extra packs of crayons and markers and tape and glue and all the things that you're going to use during the year? Those can be huge budget savers if you get people in your church to buy it and donate it. That's a good way to go after people who don't want to serve in the children's ministry, but to say, hey, would you help fund this? Would you help us, you know, would you sponsor this classroom? And I had a friend of mine that did that. They created a list for each of their small groups of what they needed, just like the schools. Their teachers would make up a list of all the supplies they need for the year and have parents go buy all those. And you know what? It saved a huge amount of their budget when they did that kind of thing, when they got families to donate the money because they went and bought it when the school supplies were dirt cheap, and they made it happen. So I think there's ways for leaders to take, if they don't have any or very, very, very small amount of budget, and go out and find some great resources to do that. Well, as we start to draw this to a close, here's a couple things I wanna wrap up with. Is I know a lot of churches post about what they do and how they do it, and other leaders can get on those Facebook groups and even the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group, and you can start comparing yourself to everybody else, and that can get discouraging. I want to know, how do you encourage yourself and keep yourself encouraged? And how do you keep yourself from playing the comparison game when you see other ministry leaders posting what they're doing online?
I'm human, and so occasionally there is some jealousy that comes in and says, man, I wish I could do that. But at the same time, I realize in my church setting, I've only been given so much to do. I've given so many children to reach for Christ, desire to reach more, but there's only so much I do. You know, when you introduce me, a lot of people know me as Commander Bill in the Awana mm-hmm. circles. And so when people hear about Awana, you know, Commander Bill and all this great wisdom and advice he has,
I didn't mean to laugh at that because you are a wise man. Exactly what I was going to say.
That's fine. But then I go on Facebook and my Awana Commanders Facebook group and other places, and I see all these awesome things that these other Awana Commanders are doing, even people I know close by. And I'm like, man, I can't do that. I'm not doing that. Hmm. And so people would come to my club and say, wow, this is all you do? This is all you got? But that's okay, because that's where I'm at. I don't have to try to meet or exceed expectation, because that's where we get caught, and it busts budgets when we say, hey, we did this year. Now next year has to be even bigger and better. You know, you want to do it with excellence. But I look at what can I do? What can I do effectively and do well? And I focus on that. And when I see other churches doing things, that's where you say, you know, God, do you want me to do that?
Yeah.
Or not? And that's where you kind of seek vision and kind of cast vision. It's like, wow, I wish we could do that kind of stuff. Yeah. And that's where you cast vision. I've got something. I've got a vision. I'm not going to say who or what, but I'd love to have somebody come to our church because I know it would be awesome. But I also know there needs to be, I can't just say, hey, stop by, it'll be great. There needs to be some groundwork done and things planned to have it as effective as it could be and to reach more people and to reach more kids.
Yeah.
And so.
Yep. I think over the years, one of the things that's helped me a lot is just knowing that God's called me to my place for my time. It's for such a time as this that I'm there. And he's called me to steward what he's given me, and that it really is a matter of saying, I can be at peace. I struggle sometimes using the word content, because I don't know if I've ever been content in my life in some ways, because I always want more. I always want better things for the kids. I want greater things. But it's stopping that focus on what I don't have and focusing on what I do have and counting those blessings and knowing that I'm doing the absolute best that I can with what I have. And I'm being a good steward with all that he gives me. And again, I want to show God, I'm going to be faithful with the little. And you know what? I think we need to learn to celebrate what God is doing. And if he's blessing the big church down the street, don't be discouraged by that. Don't be jealous of it. Celebrate it. They're on the same team. And I think sometimes, I mean, yeah, it is human. Like I said, I agree with you, Bill. I confess, being in a smaller church, I would be jealous sometimes of, man, I would love to do that big event, but I'll never have the funds to do it. But instead, I finally started realizing that I got to stop that and I got to celebrate because God's doing some amazing things down the road and I need to celebrate that. But I'm also going to look at the life change that's happening in my church and I'm going to celebrate that. And I think if I had one final thought, and then I'm going to ask you for yours, is just to encourage you listeners, regardless of what size church you're in, to be faithful with the little and let God make it bigger. Trust him that he sees that little that you have and he wants to bless it, but you've got to be ready for it. So be faithful, count your costs, plan, dream, ask God for that dream that he has for your ministry. Not for the ministry down the church, but for your ministry. And then pursue it with everything you have. And then rejoice over the harvest that God brings. But be faithful of the little and let God take care of the rest. But you do all you can to prepare for the harvest, prepare for rain. If you're not, then why should God bring it? So I want to encourage you, if you're listening, to be faithful and let God take care of this. Do all you can. And let God take care of the rest. Bill, final thoughts to encourage somebody that's listening.
I'm going to dovetail off what you said and then get to my final thought. And when people hear what you say, do they hear more of what's you wish you had in your ministry, the woe is me, or do they hear more of what God is doing?
Yes.
And that's a heart matter. But if people hear more of, I wish I had, than God has done, that even getting volunteers and budgets, you're not content with what God's given you. And your focus is really on what you don't have and what you wish you had, and not, like you said, not rejoicing in what God's given you. So are you happy? You know, are you more focused on what you don't have or what God's given you, and focus on what God's given you? You know, I look at Abraham and Sarah. God promised them that their descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky and all that kind of stuff. It would be huge. And they had no kids. And then they had one son together. And through that lineage, we have Jesus. Mm-hmm. And through that lineage, you have all these people that have become part of God's family, the lineage of Abraham. They didn't see that. It was a promise that God gave them. And we're going to have kids in our small ministries that God's saying, hey, I'm going to, your ministry is going to be far reaching. But we may not see that. In the church I grew up in, if we had 100 on a Sunday morning, it was a great day. And from that small church, and I'm not patting myself on the back, I came from that small church. I established Commander Bill. I'm reaching thousands of people with the gospel and helping other people reach kids for Jesus. If that small church wasn't there, if my parents weren't faithful, would that have been the case? They're seeing fruit, massive fruit that they may not even realize. From something that they did, just like Abraham and Sarah, that nation grew. But as they led it, they didn't see it, but they were faithful. And so it's knowing God's got a promise and he's going to be faithful to fulfill it, but we may not always see it. through the course of our ministry.
That's good. Well, as we wrap up, I always like to share any kind of resources or ideas that you have. So what are a couple of resources or blogs that you'd recommend people check out to maximize what they have?
You know, always go looking for resources. And if it was one, I'd recommend Kidology. I know Carl Bastian. When I started out, he actually helped me with Commander Bill, kind of get the word out. He's a big advocate for small churches to work with you. And he's got decades of experience and has accumulated resources, his own and others, that he's collaborated with and partnered with on his website, kidology.org. It's a membership site. You can get a free membership and get some resources. There's a nominal fee to get full access. And if you're a church with no budget and you want access to that, shoot them an email and say, hey, this is my situation. Yep. Don't take advantage of it, but if it's a real need, you know, reach out to them and say, hey, this is my situation. Right. And at least try it for a year or something and see what it's like and see how it can benefit and impact my ministry. Because that's a mistake I made when I was younger. They would say, hey, if money's an issue, just come let us know and we'll give it to you for free. And I always felt there was somebody else worse off than me.
Right, right.
Which is usually the case. Even though I couldn't afford it, there was somebody else worse off than me, so I would let them have it. And that hurt me with my personal budgets and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So put pride aside. You know, if it's a need, reach out.
Yeah. And don't forget Small Church Kidmin, your blog that, you know, you've got that free resource site on there. So make sure you guys take advantage of that. And yeah, I second Kidology. Carl and I go back way back and yeah, he will help you out. But yes, if you can afford it, pay the little fee that he has. It's an annual thing. It keeps his website up and running. And it is one of the largest, if not the largest, kid ministry collection of resources, and there's free curriculum on there. There's tons of stuff that you can download and add to and build on. It's amazing. So I would highly recommend you check out Kidology. I've been a member for years and absolutely love it. I've sent a lot of people that direction over the many years that I've been in ministry to do that. So, hey man, Bill, thanks for being on this edition of the Small Church edition of the KMC. One last thing before we go and wrap up, I want to do a giveaway. And thanks to the people at Orange and the Rethink Group, I have a copy of It's Personal, which is one of their newest books that just emphasizes how we need to continue to make ministry personal and how Jesus saw Zacchaeus and how everything changed when Jesus got personal. And it's a fantastic read. And so I'm going to offer two copies. And here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to encourage you, if you're listening to this episode, to go to iTunes or Stitcher, whatever you're listening to, and leave a review there. Hopefully 5 stars. That's an easy one to click. And then I want you to come over to the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. And I want you to post under the link where we're sharing, we'll share this podcast link, and mention that you've left a review, and also tag somebody. If they're not in the group, it doesn't matter. But if you tag the person that you're doing, but hopefully they're hearing it, or if you share it on Twitter and you tag somebody, come into the Facebook group and let me know, or tag me as well on Twitter that you're sharing this episode and that you've left a review. And we're going to draw a name, and you and the person you tagged are both going to win a copy of It's Personal. So it's a limited time. We're only going to give 2 copies away. So get after it, get that review done, and tag somebody. Let me know that you've tagged them. And then we're going to give that away. And man, thank you, Orange, for allowing us to have that. It's a fantastic read. I want to highly encourage you to do that. If you're looking for coaching, if you need some help and encouragement in what you do, we're going to be doing some more coaching groups, even for smaller churches. So go ahead and go to kmccoach.net, fill out the interest form that you are interested in small church coaching. or one-on-one coaching, and we'll be in touch with that. But we've got some great coaching opportunities coming ahead where we're even going to talk about budgeting and how you can do that better. So God bless you all. Thanks for listening to this edition of the KMC. Bill, thanks for being part of the group, and thanks for helping me out on this edition. We look forward to doing another small church edition real soon. So stay tuned for another edition of the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBunk. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.